Well, this morning we are continuing our series called It Is Written. We're going to wrap it up next week, but this morning I just want to remind you that this series is about showing us the power of God's Word to work in our lives, to build our faith, to teach us how to live for Him, and to bring us into the blessings that God has for us. This series is to challenge us to make the Word of God a part of our lives each and every day. Not just a once in a while, sometimes thing, if I think I need something, but to every day make the Word of God a part of our lives. Last week, I shared with you about obedience and how so often that is the key that brings blessings on our life. But you know, any sincere believer, sincere, key word there, any sincere believer wants to obey the Lord. Amen? We all agree with that. I mean, if you're sincere, listen, if you don't want to obey the Lord, that's insincere, right? So any sincere believer wants to obey the Lord, and yet we also all know that we all blow it at times. We all miss it. There's times when we do the wrong thing, when we fail to do the right thing. And so this morning, we're going to talk about overcoming temptation. You could hear a pin drop. But here's the thing. We all deal with it. Every Christian, every believer has to deal with temptation. It is a part of our life, something that we face all the time. And so often, even though we have good intentions and we plan on obeying God in our heart, we want to obey God, and yet we stumble, we fall. Somehow, temptation got the best of us. And so this morning, I want us to look to the Scripture to see how we can overcome temptation. You see, temptation starts for us at a very young age. I mean, when you're little, it might be the cookie jar, right? Mom said no, but that cookie jar is calling your name. Or when you get a little older, then it might be the opposite sex. Or it might be that you want to you have that greed. You want to take advantage of some situation financially. So many ways it can come to you. You know, you put others down to make yourself look good. I mean, all kinds of temptations. We all deal with it. Tempted to judge somebody. Tempted to gossip about somebody. Just to be selfish, to be greedy, to be prideful. Well, there's a big one. To allow lust in our life, or to seek revenge, to make compromise, and some over and over, 1,000 different ways that temptations come to us. But you need to know this, that Satan will find a way to tempt you. We all know that. We all realize that. But you need to be aware, the enemy of your soul, if he can get us into disobedience, he can hinder what God wants to do in our life. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm telling you that Jesus wants us to have a blessed life. He wants us to have a life that's overflowing with life, the very best kind of life. But the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. We have an adversary who's always looking for an opportunity, an inroad, to steal away the blessings that God intends for you. He wants to keep us from the plan and the purpose of God, and ultimately, he would like to destroy us. Now, a lot of the time, he brings destruction in through disobedience. It's when we disobey God so often that it opens the door for the enemy to have an opportunity to bring trouble and heartache into our life. Oh, how important it is that we learn to overcome temptation. We just can't be complacent. We can't be comfortable about it. We can't be compromising. No, we have to make up our minds that we're going to overcome temptation so that we really do obey God in every area of our life. John chapter 4, Jesus Sometimes preachers make a mistake. I'm getting there. John chapter 8, Jesus forgives a woman who's caught in the act of adultery. I got it right that time, didn't I? And he forgives this woman, and he says to her, "Neither do I condemn you." But that's not all he says. No, then he says, "Go and sin no more." Another translation says, "Go and leave your life of sin." Yes, there's forgiveness, but I just want you to see that he wants us to overcome temptation. He wants us to live in obedience to him. We talked about this one a week or two ago. There was a man who had had an infirmity for 38 years in John chapter 5, and Jesus healed that man. But a little later, Jesus finds the man, and you read in John chapter 5 and verse 14, "See, you've been made well, sin no more, lest a worse thing comes upon you." I realize that that statement from Jesus just really wrecks some people's theology, but here's what I got to say about that. Jesus is always right. And if your theology gets messed up by something Jesus said, well, guess what? Your theology was already messed up. So, you know, there's some deep things there, but here's what we know. Jesus tells this man straight up, "Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing comes upon you." Obedience is so important in our life, and so it's so important that we overcome temptation. Here's the good news. Jesus overcame temptation, and so can we. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 4. And we'll stay here or keep coming back to Matthew chapter 4 through the message. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I just want to say as you're turning there, listen, Jesus is always the best example, right? And so we're going to look specifically this morning at how Jesus overcame temptation. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Wow. I mean, listen, before Jesus began his ministry, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, the Bible says, to be tempted by the devil. Now, he overcame, amen? And if we want to overcome temptation, I'm telling you, we need to follow Jesus' example. But Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. He said, pray like this, "Lead us not into temptation." We should pray that. We'll talk about that briefly later in the message. But here, it was the Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You need to understand that Jesus had to be tempted in all points like as we were, yet without sin. That holy Lamb of God had to be proved. Listen, he was proved that he would not sin from the very beginning. And you need to understand this, that if Jesus had sinned just a little bit, if he had given in to one temptation, we would have lost it all. His eternal destiny and the plan and purpose of God, the pivotal point of all history, of his death and resurrection, it all depended upon his obedience to God. Only a spotless, sinless lamb could take away the sins of the world. Amen. For Jesus to have given in to temptation, you and I would have lost so much. Not only he, but you and I. Jesus would not have fulfilled his plan and purpose and mission in our life. And I want you to understand that there's so much at stake for us too. It might not be on the grand scale of all eternity of Jesus' obedience, but you need to realize that it's our obedience is not just about us. There are people that our lives will impact and make a difference in if we are obeying God and following the leading of the Spirit and doing what God wants us to do. And if we're floundering and falling and always messing up and missing God and disobeying God, there are things that were supposed to happen in and through our life that will not happen. So it's so important that we learn to follow Jesus' example in overcoming temptation. Jesus led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I want to tell you that God, in his foreknowledge, knew that Jesus would not fail. The Word made flesh would not fail. The one who was with God, who was God in the very beginning, he would not fail. And God knew that in the foreknowledge of God, but it had to be proved. He knew that just as he knew that Adam would fall. And before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain for us. I'm just telling you, God knows what he's doing. And when Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, God was fulfilling his purpose and preparing him to launch him into ministry. And here is our first key to overcoming temptation. He was led by the Spirit. If we want to overcome temptation, we got to be led by the Spirit. If we allow ourselves to follow our old nature, those old desires, the desires of the sinful nature, the Bible just calls it the flesh. If we allow it to lead us and guide our life, we're always going to find ourselves giving in to temptation. To overcome temptations, first thing you got to do, you got to be led of the Spirit. We got to yield to the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says it this way: live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, when we're talking about temptation, the issue and the problem here is that old sinful nature. And he says, if we live by the Spirit, if we're led of the Spirit, if we're walking in the Spirit, then we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, those old desires. Now, in verses 19 through 21, he lists out some examples of some things that are part of that old sinful nature. He says the acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. I know most of you are thinking, hey, I'm good so far. Hatred, discord, wow. Jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. That's even exalted in our culture. Dissensions, factions, and envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He says, and the like, because this isn't a complete list. This is just to give us an idea. You see, that old sinful nature, the desires of the sinful nature, there's all kinds of ways that it will cause you to fall into temptation. But he says, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, those things will mess up your life. And people who live like that, they are not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus wants us to have. No, they are missing out on so much of what God wants to do in and through their life. But Jesus walked in the Spirit, and he had this testimony in John 8:29. I always do those things that please him. In fact, God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And you see, if we just learn to walk in the Spirit, you want to overcome temptation? You need to walk in the Spirit. You need to get to the place where when you hear that little voice, that little nudge saying, don't do it. Anybody ever heard that? Don't do it. Don't say it. Oh, man. Don't say it. Don't say it. And sometimes he's saying, tell them. It's time to talk to them about the Lord. Sometimes he's prompting us to do something. We feel, or do we just shut that out? I'm telling you, you got to yield to the Spirit. You got to pause. You know what you do when you come up to a yield sign? You slow down and you look. You know what I'm saying? You gotta check. And you know what? When you're in life, so much of the time, if we would just slow down and check with the Spirit, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Oh, the Holy Spirit will lead us. See, I know when you start talking about being led by the Spirit, a lot of people don't really understand what we're talking about. But if we'll just yield to the Spirit, if we'll just ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? So often he'll give us direction. And I want to tell you, so often he's going to take us in a direction away from that temptation and fulfilling those old sinful desires. Yes. See, when we're led of the Spirit, you know what happens? We find ourselves in the right place at the right time, doing the right things. And when we're led of that old sinful nature, just giving in to its desires, we find ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time, doing the wrong things. got to be led of the Spirit. So you don't go to places that you know you shouldn't go. You don't look at things you know you shouldn't look at. And you don't hang out with people you shouldn't be hanging out with. I'm meddling, but I'm preaching really good right now. And you know, people will say, but Jesus hung out with sinners. Well, of course he did. When Jesus walked this earth, everybody that Jesus crossed paths with was a sinner. Yes, he hung out with sinners. But there were times when he had dinner with people who were known. I mean, they had a reputation. They were known for being a sinner. The Holy Spirit led Jesus to go there to minister to those people. He didn't lead Jesus. It wasn't just Jesus old, you know. He didn't have that. He didn't deal with that old sinful nature like you and I do. I'm telling you, Jesus walked in the Spirit. He was being led of the Spirit. It wasn't just some selfish desire. Say, well, you know, I want to go hang out with those people. They're cool. He wasn't just trying to fit in. Here we go. So if the Holy Spirit leads you to go to a bar to minister to people, I want to tell you, you're still going to deal with temptations when you are led of the Spirit. Jesus did, you will. You'll still face temptations when you're led of the Spirit, but you'll overcome. Because you go to a bar because God led you and you're going to minister to people, you're going to share the gospel, God's going to move and work in that situation. But let me tell you something else. You go to a bar because it sounds like fun and you just want to go hang out with the guys and have a couple of brews. You are setting yourself up for trouble. That's not the Holy Spirit leading you. That's your old sinful nature leading you. And you need to know the difference. You need to be aware. Talk about hanging out with people. This is one that's just such a part of our culture today. If you hang out with an angry man, it's going to get you in trouble. Proverbs 22, 24, 25, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. See, you got to be careful about who you hang out with. If you're a young adult, single, let me just take away the young there. If you're a single adult, our culture says, you know what? When you go out on a date or you're with somebody the opposite sex, you're adults, you know, whatever you want to do, that's okay. But we know that that's not what the Scripture teaches. And if you go out on a date or you're with somebody the opposite sex and you get to a place where you're all alone and nobody will know what you do or don't do and nobody's ever going to find out, it's amazing how you can find yourself in a place of temptation that God never intended for you to be. You just need to be wise about how you handle life. Is it the Holy Spirit that's leading, or is it your old sinful nature, the desires of your flesh that are leading? The real problem with temptation is our own desires. It's fun for a little while. Hebrews 11:25 talks about the passing pleasures of sin. If you say that sin is no fun, I just got to tell you, you're either a liar or you ain't doing it right. But it brings destruction. James chapter 1, verse 12 through 15. There's some great spiritual truths in this passage, but he starts off, he says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. I just want you to see right off. You see, when we overcome temptation, we're blessed. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. And he goes on, he says, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You need to understand this, that sin has a pleasure for a moment, but when we endure temptation, there are long-lasting rewards that come to us. He goes on in verse 13, he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. And this is something that we all need to understand. You know what? God gets accused of all kinds of things, and some people think that God has set them up and tempted them. He is not the one that sets you up, and he is not the one that tempts you, because let me tell you, God is not glorified when we fall. He's not glorified by our disobedience. No, he is glorified when we overcome. He is glorified when his children walk in obedience to him. Verse 14, he says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And there it is, what we all know. Why is it a temptation? Because our own desires draw us away. And we end up doing something that's a part of our old nature. Things like gossip. I don't know what it is, but there's just something fun, something cool, a draw about having something to say about somebody else's problem. And on the other side of that, getting to hear the gossip. They did what? In fact, the Bible tells us that it can be, Proverbs 18:8, it says, the words of a gossip can be like choice morsels. You know what's the problem with these kind of choice morsels? Is they're going to come back up. Just telling you. See, it may be fun for a while, but it's going to come back up. It reminds me of a story. One little rural church had this mean religious gossip named Mildred. Please forgive me if your name is Mildred, but she was the church's self-appointed fruit inspector. She was always gossiping about people, but one time she made the mistake when she accused George, a new member, of being an alcoholic after she saw his truck parked at the town bar. And she told everybody, she said, well, we know what he was doing there. George heard about it, but he was kind of a quiet man, and he didn't respond. He didn't defend himself. He just walked away. And that night, George parked his pickup in front of Mildred's house and left it there all night. Oh, man. The problem with sin is that sin has a fun factor. That's right, for a few minutes. Drinking is fun. Party! One guy said, man, I had so much fun last night, I don't even remember what I did. And his friend said, well, you were hugging the toilet, and it was funny, but it didn't seem like you were having that much fun. I don't know why it is that people find certain sins so attractive and such a draw when it's so obvious. Listen, that's kind of a funny story, but it's so obvious so much of the time it brings heartache and trouble into our life. Yeah, it's fun. There's a fun factor. It's fun for a little while, but then there's a consequence. There's trouble that comes as a result of it. And I am so thankful for the grace of our God that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But so often, there are consequences to our disobedience. And so, verse 15 says, then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. You see, it can bring destruction in your finances, in your relationships with others, in your effectiveness for God being used in ministry, in every area of your life, it can mess things up. But we got to remember this, that the Holy Spirit led Jesus and he overcame. And if we'll be led of the Holy Spirit, instead of allowing our selfish desires to lead us away, we can overcome temptation. So how do you do that? You just have to listen for that inner voice, for that still small voice, and you have to be willing to yield to him. I think that sometimes we get ourselves in trouble when we say no to the Holy Spirit, or we just brush that off and we go ahead and do or don't do what we're supposed to because we get used to that. No, instead, we need to get our hearts where they're soft and sensitive, and we're always listening for his voice that would be quick to obey, because if we'll follow his leading, we can overcome temptation. If If you really want to overcome temptation, I'm just saying you can't play games. You got to decide you're going to be led of the Holy Spirit like Jesus was. Back to Matthew, chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. It says, when he had fasted 40 days and nights afterward, he was hungry, and the tempter came to him. Wow. So the second key to overcoming temptation is that we have to be prepared. You got to be ready for it. I got some news for you. It's coming. Some of you are going to be tempted with something before you get out of church. Some of you are going to be tempted with something before you get up from your seat. I mean, sometime today there's going to be temptation. Are you going to be ready for it? Jesus was ready for temptation. Notice in verse 3, it says, the tempter. Here's another name for Satan. Have you ever considered this name for Satan? The tempter. The tempter came to him. You know who's trying to set you up? He'll set up situations and circumstances and people and use things to try to set you up. The tempter came to him, and we need to be ready when the tempter tries to deceive us, tries to get us into temptation. He's the one who will try to set you up, and then he's the same one who'll turn right around and try to condemn you. But you need to understand that the enemy wants to catch you off guard. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He says, be sober. See, be alert, be ready, because you have an adversary. He's always going around trying to find somebody to mess up their life. You got to be ready. You got to be prepared, because when the tempter comes, when your adversary comes, you don't want to be caught off guard. Oh, we got to be prepared. How was Jesus prepared? First of all, Jesus didn't just happen to be in the wilderness. He was led of the Spirit. So again, I want to say you got to be led of the Spirit. The second way that Jesus was prepared is, what was he doing for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness? He wasn't just hanging out. No, the Bible tells us specifically that he was fasting. And we know that Jesus was praying also. We also know that he was meditating on the Word of God, because when the first temptation came, he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He had been in that wilderness 40 days and 40 nights without food, but he had the Word of God with him. He was still meditating, going over the Word of God, because when the temptations came, it just came right out of his mouth every time. That's how he responded. As he said, it's the title of our series. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. I'm just telling you, he was prepared. He was ready. We're gonna talk about that for a minute, but I'm just saying, we got to be prepared. Prayer will prepare you for temptation. Now, prayer will help you avoid temptation. When we do what Jesus said and we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we need to pray for God's help, for his guidance. You see, there it is. We're asking him. We're asking that through the Holy Spirit that he'll lead us and guide us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Show us the right way so that we can avoid those pitfalls and minefields. But prayer also prepares you for when you are tempted. There's times when you're doing the will of God and you're still going to be tempted. So here's what Jesus says to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, pray that you may not enter into temptation. They were about to go through a great test and trial, and he says, pray. Here's the key, pray. You see, if we are praying and praying, making prayer part of our lives every day, then when temptation comes, we're going to be listening to the voice of the Spirit. We're going to be ready for that. Prayer is how we get God's help. Prayer is how we receive strength. And so when we're praying, we're getting God's help. We're getting strength for the day. The great minister Leonard Ravenhill said, a sinning man will stop praying, a praying man will stop sinning. I like the second part of that. A praying man will stop sinning. You just start praying more, pray more, pray more. And I'm telling you, it'll help prepare you for when temptations come. Now, I mentioned earlier, but the next thing is that Jesus was fasting. Fasting is such a powerful spiritual discipline. It's one that is too often forgotten by the church today. I want to remind you that when Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 6, he says, when you fast, don't do it like the hypocrites, he said. But he said, when you fast. He didn't say, hey, don't fast. He said, when you fast, do it right. But understand this. There are times that we need to fast. Jesus did. There's times that we need to get our old flesh, our old sinful nature under subjection, you see, because when we fast, that's what we're doing, is that we are weakening the desires of the flesh. We talked about the desires of the flesh and being led of the Spirit. See, when you fast, you're weakening the flesh and you're strengthening the Spirit. Sometimes you need a breakthrough. There's a great battle, a struggle, a bondage. Sometimes the key might be fasting, getting prepared for that temptation. Jesus did. I want to remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:27. He says, I discipline my body, I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I realize that what I'm preaching this morning, man, it so is not like most of the popular preaching of the day. But I'm telling you that we can overcome temptation. We see it that Jesus did, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to live in every victory, every blessing he has for us. But we got to overcome temptation. And so I just challenge you. The third way that Jesus was prepared for temptation was that he was full of God's word. He was loaded for bear. Or lion, as it were, right? He was full of the word of God. And each time that Satan tempted him, he spoke, he responded with, it is written. You see, with temptation, Satan always uses deception. Even back to the very first sin, the very first temptation in the garden, he used deception to get Eve to take of that fruit. And still today, well, you even see it in the temptations of Jesus. He was trying to deceive Jesus, and he tries to deceive us. He tries to make it look better than it is. He tries to look like, oh, there's no consequences. See, that's what he told Eve. He said, you shall not surely die. And he'll try to take away, oh, it's no big deal. Or he'll try to tell you that you're an exception, that there's a reason that this doesn't apply to you, and you feel justified in what you're doing, even though the Bible says it's wrong. But Satan is a master of lies. He's the father of lies, the Bible says. He's a master of deception. And the way to defeat him is through the word of God. It is the truth. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, the scripture says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You hide it away. You put it down in your heart so that when you need it, it's there. See, Jesus was ready. Every temptation, he said, it is written. It is written. He knew what to say. You got to put the word down inside your heart so that you're prepared, so that you're ready when temptation comes. You know, when you get a little extra money, I mean, you get a stimulus check or you get your tax return money back or you get a bonus at work or maybe just making a little extra each week. You know what you ought to do? You ought to put some back. It's a scriptural principle. I mean, the Bible says even the ants are smart enough to do that. You put some back in the good times. But see, that's no fun. Let's buy something, right? Money, let's buy something. Here's the thing. If you're wise, you put it back so that you'll have it when you need it. And I just want you to understand that we're talking about the principles of Scripture. You put them down in your heart. You store them up. So you're ready. When the tempter comes, you got something to use. This is another one of those battles. You don't want to fight without a weapon. And the word of God, Ephesians 6:17, says it is the sword of the Spirit. And Jesus used that sword to defeat Satan. And so should we. But you see, you got to store it up in your heart. My granddaddy He was born in 1904. And so this is a lot of years ago. Had to be probably 1910, 11, somewhere along in there. But he told me that, you know, and I'm saying that because I want you to understand it was a different time. We think things are difficult in our times, but, you know, there's some difficult things about the good old days. But there was a boy, a bully, that after school beat him up several times. Now, nowadays, we'd be calling the police and all this and that, but that wasn't the way it was back then. And this boy beat him up several times. My granddaddy said, I finally had enough of it. And so I got me a pipe. I held it behind my back, and when he came to try to beat me up again, I parted his hair. He said, I want you to know that bully never bothered me again. And I don't want anybody to misunderstand. I'm not advocating using a pipe on somebody. What I'm saying to you is that you need to get you a word. And when the enemy comes and he's going to try to tempt you and get you to do something stupid and mess you up, you just part his hair with the word of God. You say, it is written. Listen, that's what Jesus did. It works for us too. Jesus overcame temptation, and so can we. We just need to use the word of God, and to use it, you got to store it up. Listen, the time to get into the word, oh, you being tempted, you're right in the throes of temptation. Your desires are going, and you know, somebody said something and you're getting upset, and that's not the time for you to go, oh, I need to go find me a scripture. It won't happen that way, will it? No, you got to have it right here so that when you're tempted, it's ready to come out of your mouth. That's how you overcome. You got to use the word of God. That leads us to our final point. The key to overcoming temptation, it's to use the word. Matthew 4:3-4. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So you don't hide them in your heart for nothing. You're hiding them in there so that you can use them when you need them. And I want you to see this in the scripture. When Satan tempted Jesus, it doesn't say, and he thought to himself, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. No, he said it. He said, it is written. And I'm telling you that when you're facing that temptation, speak the word of God out of your mouth out loud. You say, oh, now that's just weird and religious. You're talking about my Jesus. That's what he did. He spoke it out loud, because when you speak the word of God out loud into the atmosphere, I'm telling you, it is powerful. It has an impact. And let me tell you a common deception. A lot of people don't really understand this. God knows your thoughts. There are dozens of scriptures that make that clear. Satan doesn't know your thoughts. He can't read your mind. Now, I know some of you, that's going against what you've always thought. Satan might know a lot about you because he's watched you and he's listened to your mouth talking. He might know your thoughts because of what you're saying, but he can't read your thoughts. You got to speak it out of your mouth and you say, it is written. And you know what? You need to hear it. You need to hear those words. But you speak them out. The word of God is alive and powerful, has great power. And here's what we need to understand, is that angels and demons heed the word of God. Wow, that's powerful. So you find scriptures that speak to you and your situation, areas where maybe you're struggling in, especially you find scriptures that talk about that particular problem or obstacle in your life or temptation. Start having trouble with anger, you say, James 1:20, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Don't count to 10. I mean, I understand the principle, you know, just give it a minute. That's not in the Bible. Don't count to 10. You know what you ought to do? Quote Ephesians 4:31-32. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away with you from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now you quote that out loud, and you get to the end of it, and you don't feel better. What do? You quote it again. Quote it with some authority. Say, it is written. See, you just got to keep using the word of God. You having trouble gossiping about people? James 4:11, don't speak evil one of another, brethren. That's pretty simple, right? You got a critical spirit, being judgmental of other people. By the way, it's amazing how simple and plain and clear Jesus says this. Judge not, that you be not judged. There's a place for judgment when it comes to church discipline, but it's not in all this criticism and judgment that goes on where we're just talking about people and judging people and being critical of others. Jesus said, don't do it. With the judgment you judge, you'll be judged, and the measure you use will be measured back to you. Having trouble with sexual temptation or pornography, Jesus said, I say to you that whoever looks upon a woman to lust for her has committed adultery in his heart. There's so many scriptures. I'm just giving you a little smattering here, but there's so many scriptures that you can find that speak to each of these things. A lot of people today in our time, in our country, I think especially, have a real temptation and problem with greed. It's just never enough. We always want more. In fact, you know, some of the things that the Bible says about this are so contrary to the attitude in the world, but also the attitude of many believers. Listen to this from 1 Timothy 6:9. Those who desire to be rich, wow, here it comes. A lot of people, that's what they want. They want to be rich. Those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, if you want to memorize that one, I realize that's pretty tough, but let me just give you this one real quick. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, be content with such things as you have. We see this, oh, I got to have it. We always want something new, better, different. You know, somebody else has it, we want it, and it's the new thing coming out, we want it. Why don't we have what they have? That envy gets in. I'm just telling you, here's a simple verse you speak. It is written, be content with such things as you have. I'm not going to be all upset and dissatisfied with my life because I don't have this or I don't have that. I'm going to be content with what God has blessed me with. And he blesses me with more, that's good. But I'm content with the blessing of the Lord that he's given to me. In the next temptation, we see Satan use a tactic that he so often uses on believers. Especially believers. We're going to read Matthew 4, 5 through 7. Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus says, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now this time Satan is using a different kind of deception because he is actually quoting the word to Jesus. He knows the word. He's had to live with it for a long time. He knows, and he can quote it to you. But he twisted the meaning. He was trying to get Jesus to do something that the scripture specifically forbids. In fact, the very issue, the very temptation that he put before Jesus is one that many Christians fall into. You don't put yourself in harm's way on purpose. That's tempting the Lord. Yes, God protects us and he takes care of us. But we're not to put ourselves in harm's way intentionally. That's tempting the Lord. Now, that's just one example. But I can tell you that there are literally thousands of ways that the enemy will pull out a phrase or a verse to try to deceive you and get you headed down the wrong path. And that's why you need to know more than just your favorite verses and just the promises. You need to read the whole Bible. And I know that's a tall order. If you're a baby Christian, yes, just keep reading, just keep learning, just keep growing, because It will help you be ready so that when the tempter comes and he tries to twist the scripture and use it to deceive you, you know when he's not telling the truth. You know when it's a deception meant to lead you astray. It's the Word of God that helps us be able to do that. You always have to interpret Scripture in the light of the rest of Scripture. Next, Matthew 4, 8 through 11. And again, the devil took him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now, Jesus tells him this time to get. He says, "Away with you." But remember this, Jesus did not just say, "I resist you, Satan. I resist you, Satan. I resist you, Satan." You see, this is about the spiritual knowledge of some believers today, and they think if they just say that enough times, it might eventually work. And the devil's probably thinking, how many times are they going to say that? That is not what Jesus did. Now, the Bible does tell us in James 4, 7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say, "I resist you, Satan." Look at the example of Jesus. How did he resist Satan? With the Word of God. Satan brings a deception, a temptation, and he says, "It is written." He does it again. "It is written. It is written." Even the third time when he says, "Away with you, Satan," he tells him, "It is written. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." This is how you resist the devil. You do it with the Word of God. Because here's the thing. Psalm 103, verse 20. "Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." You see, angels have to heed the word of the Lord. Fallen angels heed the word of the Lord. Demons have to heed the word of the Lord. When Jesus encountered the demons whose name was Legion, he commanded them to go into the pigs, and they went into the pigs. In fact, they begged him. They said, don't send us out into the dry places. They had to do whatever he said. And I'm telling you that the word of God has such power that principalities and powers and demons and fallen angels have to submit to the word of God. When you speak the word of God, it is so powerful. And so you're resisting with the word of God. I've tried to keep this simple this morning. I didn't say easy. I said simple. I know that sometimes when somebody's dealing with an addiction or habitual problem, it can really help to have accountability. And there are some other things that God can use to help you. But I really believe that these simple principles this morning can put you over the top, bring victory in your life. There's one more issue I want to deal with this morning, and that is a deception that so often Satan tries to bring on the child of God who wants to live for God and wants to fully be obedient to the Lord, but they struggled and struggled in a certain area of life. And here's what I want to say to you. Satan will tell you that you can't win. Satan will tell you that you'll never change. And here's the thing. He'll point to your past and he'll say, "See, you're never going to win. You're not going to win this battle. You're never going to get it. Look at your past." But you need to not look at your past. Instead, you need to look at the cross. You need to realize that Jesus overcame, that he has paid the price not only for your forgiveness, but he paid the price for your freedom. And he has a victory for you. I want to remind you again of the words of Jesus in John 8, 31 and 32. He said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So stay in the word. Keep building yourself up in the word. Get full of the word so you're ready. And he said a few verses later, he said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you you'll never be free. No, the Word of God says, it is written, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray.